Hello, this is Sharon with the Pantograph. Today is Wednesday, September 12th, 2018. We will begin today's reading on the front page of the paper with an article titled, Hudson Cop Sues Village, Discrimination Based on Pregnancy Claimed. A former Hudson police officer has filed a lawsuit against the Village of Hudson, Police Chief Dale Sparks, and members of the village board, alleging she was fired because she was pregnant and she complained about Sparks' action in a criminal case. The lawsuit, filed in U.S. District Court, asks the court to reinstate Kaylee Sprout to her job and seeks compensation in the form of back pay and undeclared damages for emotional distress, humiliation, and embarrassment, punitive damages, and attorney fees. The lawsuit asks the village to stop violating Sprout's whistleblower rights and adopt employment practices and policies in accordance with Illinois law. Village attorney Pat McGrath of Mackinac was not immediately available for comment on Tuesday. Sprout's attorney, Stephen Miller, said, "In today's environment, I find it surprising that in a male-dominated community, we could have such old-fashioned practices and ways." The lawsuit contends that male police officers who needed accommodations for medical conditions were not subjected to the same restrictions and were not terminated. It is not okay to have such policies and treat male officers differently than female officers. In the lawsuit filed recently by Miller of the Chicago firm of Robbins, Schwartz, Nichols, Lifton, and Taylor, Sprout states she began working for the Hudson Police Department on March 30, 2016, and on May 10, 2016, was promoted to a full-time police officer. On March 17, 2017, Sparks and Pat O'Grady, who was and remains the trustee of police, signed a performance evaluation, and according to the lawsuit, Sprout's ratings were outstanding or good in all categories with no negative comments. But in April of that year, Sprout contends she informed then-Mayor Jason Collins, who she identified as an acquaintance, that Sparks had tipped off a suspect prior to the execution of a search warrant so the suspect could remove guns from the home that was the target of the warrant. Upon information and belief that the suspect did not have a valid firearm owner's identification card, the plaintiff believed that these actions on the part of Chief Sparks were a violation of state or federal law, rule, or regulation. Specifically, plaintiff believed Sparks' actions to be criminal in nature, states the lawsuit. The lawsuit alleges that on April 18, Sprout attended a meeting of the Village Board of Trustees at the request of the mayor. There she provided the board with information regarding Sparks and the incident involving the search warrant. Sparks was in an adjacent room, and his office door was open, so he was aware of what was being discussed in the meeting, states the lawsuit. The complaint also alleges that on May 8, Sparks retaliated against Sprout by extending her probationary period by 1 month and revoking her access to the evidence room. Sparks said it was because of the investigation. In July, Sprout met with an Illinois State Police investigator in Normal, one day after informing Sparks and O'Grady that she was pregnant and had a 25-pound lifting restriction. She asked to be switched to day shifts and then asked by Sparks why she couldn't work nights, handed him and O'Grady a copy of the Illinois Human Rights Act that contained provisions prohibiting pregnancy discrimination. In response, both Chief Sparks and Defendant O'Grady stated that they were unaware that a law existed prohibiting pregnancy discrimination, the lawsuit states. Sparks was previously denied any wrongdoing in the firing and was cleared of the search warrant investigation by the ISP. On July 11th, Sparks reassigned Sprout to desk duty, did not allow her access to a squad car, and kept her on the night shift, the lawsuit states. Further, he denied her request to work in the evidence room. Because of your current medical condition and the fact that contents of some evidence that may possibly be absorbed through the skin or inhaled while in the room, it states. On September 5th, the village terminated her because it allegedly did not have any further work available in the police department or anywhere else in the village that would meet the 25-pound lifting restriction imposed by Sprout's doctor, according to the suit. Named in the lawsuit, in addition to the village of Hudson, Sparks, and O'Grady, are the members of the village board, including Alan Meissner, Allison Brutlag, Dave Brutlag, Sarah Hill, Phil Morris, Caleb Post, Betty Scanlon, and Carrie Tudor. Collins resigned as mayor in May 2017, just a day after taking the oath of office for what would have been his first full term. He was appointed mayor in January 2015 after the resignation of Mark Cotty. Children's Museum to add new wind exhibit. Imagine Air to feature turbine test station opens this November. The winds of change are blowing at Children's Discovery Museum. The 101 East Beaufort Street Institution will overhaul its second floor this fall, adding a wind exhibit to open on Black Friday, the biggest in a series of changes under new executive director Beth Wissman. The science is at the heart of it. But when kids look out their window and see what's in their community, they have questions, and we can help answer those, Wissman told the Pantograph of the exhibit called Imagine Air. Why do you see wind turbines in central Illinois? Why do they look like that? What are they doing? We want to help them piece all of that together. The exhibit will replace the air maze and several nearby pieces with an updated air maze, a turbine test station where kids can build a small-scale wind farm and see how it works, a vertical launcher that lets them see how air power counteracts gravity, and a sink or float wall, the same with water. You can experiment, so coming once, coming 10 times, you won't have the same experience, which is really important for a local museum, said Wissman. It's what teachers are asking for. It's fun and educational. The exhibit is expected to cost no more than $127,500, including $116,800 from the state of Illinois, $5,000 donated by EDP Renewables, the company building the Brightstock Wind Farm near Genoa, and the rest from the Children's Discovery Museum Foundation, its fundraising arm. The foundation pays for the exhibits, and the town does the staff and the building, said Wissman. It's been a great partnership over the years. Imagine Air is the museum's first new exhibit since Hello from Japan, a temporary installation that visited from June to September 2016, but it's been in the works for years. The museum commissioned design concepts in 2014 while expecting a state grant that was finally delivered in this year's budget. This is going to be a short demolition because what's coming in is bigger than what's currently there, said Wissman. We're talking about a couple weeks at the most to have some things blocked off. Before that exhibit launches, the museum will roll out a change that will be more significant for many. Its membership in Museums for All, an initiative that helps low-income families get into museums with lower entry fees. Interested families will need to go to the museum or meet with a representative off-site and prove need by sharing their link card or WIC, Women's, Infants, and Children information. In exchange, they'll get a card for a year to show at the museum for a $3 admission per person up to 6 people. That program is slated to launch locally on Worldwide Day of Play, a nationwide celebration CDM participates in annually. This year, it's on September 29th. The museum is also offering free admission to up to 4 families per day through Bloomington Public Library and Normal Public Library. Each has a pair of family passes patrons can check out the way they would a book or a movie. Wissman said the biggest challenge she's faced since starting the job in February, however, is restocking the CDM Foundation Board. That body, which handles strategic planning and fundraising, was down to 5 members this spring, but now has 10. The board was doing a good job, but we weren't recruiting new members. It's important because without the foundation, there is no museum, she said. Traditionally, it's a 15-member board, so I've got several openings I'm still working on. Wissman encouraged those interested in serving to contact her at 309-433-3447 or by email at bwhisman@normal.org. I'm pretty proud to be a part of it and looking forward to serving, said Paul Schnart, a Hudson resident and Francois Associates architect who joined the board last month. The museum is symbolic of how important children are to this community. Gina Mandros, who became board president this summer, said she's been pleasantly surprised by how quickly Wissman took to the job. Already it feels like she's been here 6 years rather than 6 months, Mandros said, and how she's embraced a more fundraising-oriented board. We've taken some former board members, and they've formed an ad hoc committee to decide how to fund changes to the medical exhibit coming up, said Mandros. It's a really exciting time to be involved. Wissman said she's also settling in as the town's cultural arts manager, overseeing Uptown events and the Normal Theater. 2019 will be our 25th anniversary as a museum, and we're not ready to talk about our plans yet, but we're looking to the future. That's part of why it's so important to build up the foundation. Wissman said, stay tuned. Today's Flick Fact. As part of Illinois' 200th birthday, in a vote coordinated by the Abraham Lincoln Presidential Library and Museum, the Springfield State Journal Register and the Illinois Bicentennial Commission, the top 10 museums in Illinois have been chosen. Can you name them? And the answer, in order. The Abraham Lincoln Presidential Library and Museum, Springfield. The Museum of Science and Industry, Chicago. The Field Museum, Chicago. The McLean County Museum of History, Bloomington. The Art Institute of Chicago. The Cedarhurst Center for the Arts, Mount Vernon. Illinois State Museum, Springfield, Peoria Riverfront Museum, Chicago History Museum, and Kankakee Park in Wheaton. Daily Digest, Environment Expo set for Thursday. An Impact Your Environment Expo will be 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Thursday, which is Townships of Illinois Day, at the City of Bloomington Township, 607 South Gridley Street, Bloomington. The expo will feature the township's new POTS, or Promoting Others to Succeed, plastic garden pot recycling program, and will include free ice cream and children's activities. Expo partners include Henson's Disposal and Recycling, Ecology Action Center, Mid-Central Community Action, Green Scouts, Refugee Food Forest, West Bloomington Revitalization Project, Westside Community Gardens, The Wild Ones, University of Illinois Master Gardeners, and the City of Bloomington. Today in History. Today is Wednesday, September 12th, and it's the 255th day of 2018. We have 110 days left in this year. Today's highlights. On September 12, 1942, during World War II, a German U-boat off West Africa torpedoed the RMS Laconia, which was carrying Italian prisoners of war, British soldiers, and civilians. It's estimated more than 1,600 people died, while some 1,100 survived after the boat sank. The German crew, joined by other U-boats, began rescue operations. On September 16th, the rescue effort came to an abrupt halt when the Germans were attacked by a U.S. Army bomber. As a result, U-boat commanders were ordered to no longer rescue civilian survivors of submarine attacks. On this date, in 1846, Elizabeth Barrett secretly married Robert Browning in London. And a thought for today. We must be willing to pay a price for freedom. For no price that is ever asked for it is half the cost of doing without it. And this was said by H. L. Mencken, an American author and journalist who lived from 1880 to 1956. Continuing with more local news, $4 million challenge gift announced. YMCA seeks donors in order to receive amount for new site. Plans for a new, larger Bloomington Normal YMCA building to include Easter Seals Central Illinois on the OSF Healthcare St. Joseph Medical Center campus got a vote of confidence Tuesday with the announcement of a $4 million gift. The gift is from a Bloomington Normal family who has chosen to remain anonymous at this time, YMCA Executive Director B.J. Wilkins said. But the donation is a challenge gift. To receive the $4 million, the YMCA must also raise $4 million by December 31st. The organization has raised another $2.2 million towards the goal. That means community donors must give another $1.8 million for the $4 million gift to be received, Wilkins said. I'm absolutely stunned and incredibly grateful that this family would come forward with this gift to the YMCA, Wilkins said. The gift would be the largest in the history of the Bloomington Normal YMCA. This is exciting news for a very special, impactful collaboration that will tremendously benefit our community, said Chad Bohr, CEO of OSF Healthcare's Eastern Region. Further, this gift validates the vision of the YMCA, Easter Seals, and OSF Healthcare to come together in designing and constructing a new facility that will be accessible for all. YMCA announced in April that it hopes to move from its longtime home south of downtown Bloomington at 602 South Bain Street to a new 70,000 square foot building on the St. Joseph campus at 2200 East Washington Street, Bloomington. The proposed building would front Washington Street with St. Joseph Drive and the Medical Center to the north, and OSF's planned medical office building to the west. OSF donated 6 acres of land valued at $3 million, Bohr said. But for the building to be built, the YMCA must raise another $13 million, Wilkins said in April. Including the $4 million challenge gift, another $4.4 million must be raised before construction can begin. To date, we've raised $11.6 million from 51 donors, including the challenge gift and the land donation, Wilkins said on Tuesday. Ideally, we would like to be complete with fundraising by the spring of 2019. Wilkins said in April that he hopes to begin construction in the fall of 2019 and open at their new location in the spring of 2021. The YMCA has outgrown its existing 40,000 square foot building, which is not completely wheelchair accessible, is landlocked, and can't be expanded, Wilkins said. In addition to larger YMCA facilities, the planned building would include leased space for Easter Seals to relocate its therapy and counseling programs from 2404 East Empire Street, Bloomington, said Easter Seals Central Illinois CEO Steve Thompson. This gift is a huge boost to the campaign and a huge vote of confidence in the project, Thompson said. Fundraising campaign co-chairs are Julie Dobsky, and Steve Snyder. When asked by the Pantograph in April about the YMCA moving farther from Bloomington's west and south sides, project supporters said that people in need live throughout the Bloomington Normal area. City tells owner to halt project. Gray Ledges, owner, ordered to stop digging up Parkway. The owner of historic Gray Ledges, a Ewing family home on East Washington Street, has been ordered to stop cutting up a city parkway to connect his new driveway to the street. City officials have posted a stop work order at the site after learning the owner, Greg Shepard, did not have a valid city permit allowing him to dig up the grass to install a concrete apron to connect the driveway to the street. The location is where the city refused last year to remove a healthy tree to enable Shepard to proceed with the driveway project. The dispute was resolved in a manner when the tree died in April. Shepard did not respond Tuesday to requests for comment. There was a permit for a new driveway applied for in July 2017, but that permit expired in January 2018. Said City Communication Manager Nora Dukowitz. A stop work order was issued. We're aware of the situation and we're reviewing the best course of action. When asked about what that course of action might be, Dukowitz said, "We're still researching that." She also declined to say what penalties, if any, Shepard could face. On Monday, the stop work order was first given verbally at approximately 11 a.m., followed by a written order at approximately 7:30 p.m. Gray Ledges was the residence of Spencer and Lena Ewing. The couple had prairie-style architect John S. Van Bergen build the house in 1920 through 21 at 1706 East Washington Street. In 1952, Gray Ledges was sold by the Ewing family to James and Marie Owen, the owners of Owen Nursery in Bloomington. Shepherd purchased Gray Ledges and adjacent lots at 1700 East Washington and 24 and 26 Country Club Place, totaling about 4.5 acres, from Francis Owen for $1.1 million, according to McLean County Assessor's Office documents. In 2015, Shepherd began restoring the property, including having dense woodland and foliage surrounding the house removed. At that time, he mistakenly removed some trees along Mercer Avenue that belonged to the city, for which he later apologized to the city. In April, a passerby reported to the city that a once healthy tree appeared to be dead and that there was an odor, said Dukowitz. Officials from the City Parks and Recreation Department, which oversees the management of city-owned trees, collected and provided soil samples to the Bloomington Police Department. A mature tree, about 25 years old, was located in the path of a horseshoe-shaped drive that had been constructed with both legs leading to and from Washington Street, according to a Bloomington Police Department report dated April 12. The easternmost leg of the drive was newer, and there was no curb cut out for it yet, the report stated. While the grass in the parkway was greening up, the area around the base of the tree was still brown. There was a strong odor of what was most likely gasoline or diesel fuel emitting from the ground around the base of the tree, the police report stated. Park Department officials told police they suspected someone was attempting to kill the tree by dumping gasoline or diesel fuel around the tree, according to the Bloomington Police Department report. The officials told police that the property owner had been in a dispute with the city of Bloomington over the removal of the tree. The city decided in the fall of 2017 that the tree would not be removed because it was healthy. The tree, which later did die and was removed, was a honey locust, valued at about $8,500. A formal complaint about the dead tree was not filed with the Illinois Environmental Protection Agency, said Kim Biggs, an IEPA spokeswoman. A call was made to us about it, but it was indicated that unless there was evidence of illegal disposal activity or some type of contamination, we don't have jurisdiction over it, said Biggs. It would be a local authority or police department issue. The police case was administratively closed, meaning there was not enough evidence to pursue any charges. Many jobs open at VA Hospital. A federal report shows that a Veterans Affairs Hospital in Eastern Illinois is having trouble filling many of its healthcare jobs. The national report released by the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs found that the VA Illiana healthcare system in Danville had 167 open positions as of June 30th. The News Gazette in Champaign reports 105 openings were in the medical and dental fields. The hospital has more than 1,400 employees. Danville Hospital spokesman Todd Oliver said its average wait for primary care is 3.2 days compared with 4.5 days nationally. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Pantograph for Wednesday, the 12th of September, 2018. Please stay tuned.